control. Kitchen troll missing.
You can't call her a troll.
Kitchen troll.
She's a gnome, not a troll.
Oh, no. Kitchen pigeon.
She has her ways.
She has her ways.
Take him off.
I had me, Ricky.
Take him off and have him shot.
Now I've got you.
Are we on? Are we ready? Romans 1. I think we were studying 22 and 23. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, in the pagan cultures, they made the idols into various animals and insects and creeping things and whatever happened to be around. And then when the Jewish culture was reprobate, they created the golden calf, then they put the two golden images inside the holy place, and that, but Manasseh did that. But what we do is we make the images into our head. We have the images of the way things should be. And so the question is, do you see how that we change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image? We have an image of the way we think somebody should be, what they should do. We have an image of the way someone should act. We have the image of the way our life situation should be. But we are still changing the uncorruptible God into an image, except we do it in our mind. Now, unless you accept that as what we do, then the rest of Romans you can't understand, because you'll dismiss it back to some other thing that you're not guilty of. Now, the question is, how do we know that we have done that? We know we have done that when we are upset at something that happens. Remember, in the Garden of Eden, when we returned to that innocence, they did not have the capacity to think that the moment they were in should be different than it was. Now, do you have... Of course, Harry never does this. Harry never thinks the image.
Maybe a perfect example of this is James with the casting, full leg cast. It just keeps going.
Right.
Think about, I shouldn't have to wear this cast.
Well, but I want to see if anybody can see that they do it.
Of course. It's one of those time things. If you're in time frame, you're doing it. But in an eternal moment, it can't be done. Because God then is ever being.
And that's why the gift of God is eternal life.
Yeah.
So that you never again have the necessity, or hopefully even because of constant repentance, even the capacity, I shouldn't say capacity, you always have the capacity, you don't have the tendency to always do that. Every time you look at something, you think, well, it should be this way. Now, if you really ponder this, one would think that that's impossible to do. How does that change the image of the we change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image? If God says you have been perfected by one offering, if God says it's finished, if God says the gift is both perfect, eternal, and infinite, then you can you see how any response other than that of grace to any situation is one of changing the corruptible, the glory of God into a corruptible image. Now, is this connecting with everyone? Because if it doesn't, then we got to stop here.
Yeah, I love these predicates because if without it, like you said, you can't go on because everything will be filtered through the wrong predicate. It's the cross.
So have we come to a point of did you listen to any of that stuff or did
no, I
you?
Never got a copy. I didn't listen to it.
Okay, but it's not a troubling you now.
It's tinkling inside of Garrett's brain.
Excuse me, folks.
That's a funny sound, that you could change up your sounds. Make it sound like it's not really your phone.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy a cell phone if I can get Lily Tomlin to do the ringtone.
Yeah, that was a good idea. It's more Bible study appropriate time. Very subdued.
All right.
Do you really understand? What? Think for a second. What has happened over the last few days? Is there anything that you have looked at that you don't think is perfect? That you don't think that you have you left the mercy seat for any reason? Last night, I had fully intended to teach, because for years I've said, love God and have fun, and people I get all kinds of criticism for that. But if you see that love there is the verb, give breath, give importance only to God. It's not some emotional context. It's I am loving Him. And then everything else is exactly as it should be. And then if in apprehending that or being apprehended by it, then your life is joy, is fun. The gift of the it's love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Now, where have we left that? Where did we leave love, joy, and peace? Well, we leave it constantly. Now, what's our response to it? We think our response is for someone to change, for someone to do something different, for you to have more, for you to have something else. What's going on?
Well, everybody thinks I need to talk to me this morning. Not at all. This never happened.
Now, again, by your silence, you must... Are you saying you really understand this? You really agree? Or do you understand what it means that we change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image? If the glory of the incorruptible God has been revealed and it is always present and it is always our predicate of everything, then what do we do? What are we doing? You must see, your only response is to repent. You can do nothing else if that isn't the case. Oh, but I'm concerned rightly. I love that one. I'm righteous in my concern because, and then we got infinite number of becauses.
Yeah, that was thinking of the thing where Moses held up the snake on the rod, you know, and everybody looked at it, and then they kept that because that was like a cool thing that happened, you know, and they kept that and made, you know, it came out later, years later, they were worshiping it.
Yeah.
It's like, it was an example for everything like that.
The spear that Phinehas forged to stop the plague at Baal Peor, and he stabbed the couple that was illegal sex, and he was carried it through the camp. And then that spear, the Phinehas' spear, became the symbol of the power of the Jewish government. Well, that's crazy, but that's what we do. Now, what in your mind have you changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image? Now, for us, because we're so screwed up, it's usually a negative image. In other words, it's well, that can't be God because this. That can't be the glory of the incorruptible God because it isn't the way it should be. That's right. Or, if I'm not there, it's okay because I won't go there. I won't. If you're really loving God and doing that, loving meaning giving importance only to Him, but if you're not giving importance only to Him in every aspect, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your might, then you have but one response. Father, forgive me. There can be no other response. Now that's why I've said so often, that's all I did, but still do mostly, is repent. If my mind starts to go on, if I look and see anything wrong, Father, forgive me. Now, is there any other response that you can have other than repentance? Because I promise you, if there is, you will become righteous. You will be right. You will have a place to stand. What?
Well, what are the other responses?
Well, mine are, you should understand better.
Need to repent of that.
I do constantly. Or mine is, we should have more money. Now we got more money, but we should be able to do whatever. Yeah. I'm sure yours is, I should be different.
No, I like it where you are. What I was saying.
Since when?
No, I think you're fine. It's been a long time, you just don't recognize it. And I'm thinking if your response is not repentance, it's, oh shit, I didn't do it right. Now here's the right way to do it to do better the next time.
Or somebody else isn't doing it right.
Or somebody else, yeah. But you know, whatever it is, that's the opposite of repentance. It's not saying that everything's perfect. It's saying that I can make it better if we change it.
Now, the logical question to ask then is why preach?
This is affecting me in a little bit different way. Kind of like in addition to what we're saying. What John said about the brazen serpent really got me going. Because it is what we do. It's how we make life boring. Instead of exciting, vibrant, what's going to happen next, the way we make life boring is trying to recreate that which worked and avoid that which didn't work. It's just the basic way we do it. It's how two marriages of mine became incredibly awful, was by repetitively trying to do what did work and avoid what didn't work, as opposed to just living the glory of God, the exciting you know, unknown what's going to happen in the next moment. And it's what human beings do. And it's really, it's how we defeat ourselves.
It's how we return to
bondage. The worst thing that can happen is for us to get what we want. And then suddenly everything's boring.
Now look what happens. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. Now, uncorruptible is really, really big here, because uncorruptible is the definition of what vanity is in the Old Testament. I mean, what vanity isn't. All things are corruptible. That means they denigrate or change with time. It doesn't matter. Everything that's in time and space, that's why their second law of thermodynamics is nothing in and of itself can ever produce anything greater than itself. There's always entropy. There's always this decay. That's why the scriptures say, that's why when Ezekiel looked at the world, he said, the world, or Egypt, is on fire. Because it's a slow burn. It's all that on fire is, it's oxidizing. I'm aging because I'm on fire. I'm oxidizing. All of us are. But we though the outward man perish, the inner man is renewed day by day. And so, but we have the capacity to stop that process because we have the capacity to think of ourselves. And when we do, once we think of ourselves, then we stop because of his humility. Once we judge something down, we stop the process because we've denied it's perfect. Once we think somebody needs to change or we need something, then we've stopped the process. We have rebelled against the mystery. Now, this is huge because it goes into every way and thought and process that we can have. Anybody have any?
Yeah, then the simplicity kicks in. It gets all complicated and convoluted, and then the simplicity of repentance washes it all away, and you're free.
Can you see why Jesus said, take no thought for your life? Take no thought for what you should do, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on, what you're going to do about this, what you're going to do about that. But we get so righteous, and that feeling of righteousness is our food, and it's spiritually our sugar, and it becomes addictive. And it's sad. So we change the glory of God at every given second, at every given nanosecond. We change it of the incorruptible God to an image. And then what happens? Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. What happens? Why? If something isn't exactly right, then I've got to let lust become. I've got to figure out what to do about it. I've got to think about what's going to change it, how to do this, how to do that. And I become, God has given me over to the uncleanness. Because we have to touch the unclean thing. We have to return to Babylon We have to have a how-to, or what to do about this, or what to do about that. And then, therefore, we have returned to the unclean thing. And when we do, the first tell that you're doing it is it feels like you're doing something right. And all of us are guilty of this. Now, this is going to, if you hear this, this will affect your every the seminal way in which you conduct your life. This is where this idea of your mind, the ungodliness, is asibia, which means wrong thinking. It's you're thinking and making judgments based on your sensory perceptions. And what happens? That's called ungodliness. In the moment then the old time worship of you as the temple of the living God holds sway, and you become a pagan. You start wanting what they want, liking what they like, esteeming what they esteem, and pretty soon it's all gone down the tubes. And you got to know that. You've seen enough to know it. What? What's going on over here?
I was thinking about this guy we talked to in San Diego. He was just a guy on the bus. You know, we were talking about the buildings. You know, they got skyscrapers and stuff. But they also have earthquakes down there. You know, so he was talking about how, you know, they've instituted all of these protection, you know, ways to build things to protect against the big earthquake. And, you know, but since, you know, he was in on the inside of some of these things, he said, you know, it was just like, you know, it was not going to work, you know. I mean, the whales and the sea lions and everything, they'll be fine, but, you know.
Yeah, that guy needs to put his office on the top floor.
Yeah, it's a picture of, you know, we go through all these permutations trying to make sure everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Well, the next verse is, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Well, what does that mean? Who changed the truth of God into a lie? If you believe what the scriptures say, the truth of God is the fullness of Jesus Christ, the perfection of His holiness. Wherever you look, you see God is all and in all. That's the truth of God. We change it into a lie because somebody has to do something different. Somebody's not doing something right. Something's got blah, 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 blah. And the moment you do, you start feeding on dust again. And that's how you give life to the one who was dead from the deadly head wound. And some of you like to give it life because it feels good for a minute. Which part?
Some of you
like to give life to the one who was died on the cross, and even if it makes you feel sad, at least it makes you feel. You got to just, if you do nothing else in the next few days, ponder and consider fully what this means, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped or gave breath and served the creature more than the Creator. That's all that worship means, is to give breath to. Doesn't matter whether it's positive or negative. Again, the question then is, well, why preach? Why is the preaching of the cross called the power of God? Not preaching about the cross, but preaching of the cross, which by definition means your death. Because everything in the universe is telling you you're naked. Something has to be different. Something has to change. You need to do this. You need to do that. Somebody else needs to do this or that. And it goes on and on and on. And pretty soon you couldn't tell the... You couldn't see righteousness if it bit you in the ass.
It's like that, those crazy Chinese finger traps, you know. The more you struggle, the tighter it gets. Or there's a myth about being wrapped up in knots or something. The
more Gordian you struggle, knot.
The more you struggle, the tighter it gets. Because, the preaching of the cross is the only way out. It's the only solution to the Chinese finger trap. The monkey trap, even better example.
And the reason for this is God will not and cannot violate what you see, what you mistakenly see as your free will. He will not violate the will of Satan. So his humility is always manifest. Huh?
He doesn't have to.
You know, everybody wants God to come and beat you on the head. He's not going to do it. He's not going to violate as long as you're continuing to try to figure it out, to training you try to do, continue to try to get it right. That's probably enough for today. Take it, big guy.